The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 19. We'll read the psalm in its entirety, beginning with verse 1. Heaven is declaring God's glory. The sky is proclaiming God's handiwork. One day gushes the news to the next, and one night informs another what needs to be known. Of course, there's no speech, no words. Their voices can't be heard, but their sound extends throughout the world. Their words reach the ends of the earth. God has made a tent in heaven for the sun. The sun is like a groom coming out of his honeymoon suite, like a warrior. It thrills at running its course. It rises in one end of the sky. Its circuit is complete at the other. Nothing escapes its heat. The Lord's instruction is perfect, reviving one's very being. The Lord's laws are faithful, making naive people wise. The Lord's regulations are right, gladdening the heart. The Lord's commands are pure, giving light to the eyes. Honoring the Lord is correct, lasting forever. The Lord's judgments are true. All of these are righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than tons of pure gold, and they are sweeter than honey, even dripping off the honeycomb. No doubt about it, your servant is enlightened by them. There is great reward in keeping them. But can anyone know what they've accidentally done wrong? Clear me of my unknown sins, and save your servant from willful sins. Don't let them rule me. Then I'll be completely blameless. I'll be innocent of great wrongdoing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Where have the burning bushes all gone? Have they finally been consumed? Where have the angels gone? Are they no longer being dispatched to earth bearing summons to unsuspecting folks as we're going about our lives? Where are the dreamers awakened in night by visions of God's presence and purpose? Where are the thunder and lightning, the fiery visitations and smoke-covered mountains? Has God fallen silent? Is there no word from God for us? Have we somehow been transported back to time in the days of Samuel when the word of the Lord was rare? Oh, there are those who claim to have received word from God. With utmost confidence, words are shared under the auspices of divine revelation. Even our denomination, the United Church of Christ, adheres to the familiar adage, God is still speaking. You have to wonder, if God is still speaking, where are the special effects? Without them, whether it's spoken to others or to us, how do we know it is truly a word from God? If God is still speaking, why haven't we heard anything or seen anything or felt anything? I mean, surely if God were to speak, we would notice, right? Not only would we notice, surely if God were to speak, we would pay close attention to what God said, pondering those words and what they mean for us. If God were to speak, wouldn't we hang on every word? We find the psalmist this morning speaking from personal experience, telling us not where he found bread, but where he hears and sees the word, the revelation of God. This psalm, along with many other scriptures, has given rise to thinking about two forms of divine revelation, natural revelation and scriptural revelation. Catherine Valters Paintner says, creation itself is a sacred text through which the presence of God is revealed to us. And she's not alone. A great many Christian mystics spanning 2,000 years, including St. Francis of Assisi, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, have listened and heard God speaking through two sacred texts, Scripture and creation. Celtic Christian tradition understood the natural world as a window into the divine. Nature was considered to be an essential source of revelation about God. Church fathers have been inspired by both sacred revelations. Martin Luther said, God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but on trees and flowers and clouds and stars. The Desert Father, Herbert Anthony, said, my book is the nature of created things, and it's always at hand when I wish to read it. Countless poets concur. William Stafford, the American poet, wrote, the earth we are writing keeps trying to tell us something with its continuous scripture of leaves. It kind of leaves us wondering whether the reference is to tree leaves or pages. Perhaps we've made the assumption that God isn't speaking because we've mistakenly assumed there is only one way for God to speak. Maybe we have an Elijah kind of problem. Elijah was a mighty prophet of God. He had encounters with God that were filled with awe and power. He was certain that this was the only way God would be known to him. But God's revelation came to Elijah when he retreated from the certainty of Mount Carmel to the mystery of Mount Horeb. After a ministry of power, coercion, and violence at Mount Carmel, Elijah enters into quiet rest and a cloud of mystery and intimacy with God at Mount Horeb. The second mountain deconstructs the first mountain as God appears to Elijah, not in wind and earthquake, not in fire, but in a still small voice. Oh, to stand with Elijah and have our focus turn from certainty to mystery. Oh, to stand with the psalmist and say, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of the hands of God. Day after day, the heavens pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Well, no words may be heard. Their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is heard everywhere. Indeed, let God's glory be heard in the heavens above, from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. Could it be that we have a listening problem? Could that explain why we aren't hearing what God is saying? It might be easier to assume that God is not speaking than to acknowledge that maybe we simply are missing what God has been saying. In Man's Quest for God, Abraham Heschel writes, we do not refuse to pray, we abstain from it. We ring the hollow bell of selfishness rather than absorb the stillness that surrounds the world, hovering over all the restlessness and fear of life. The secret stillness that precedes our birth and succeeds our death. Futile self-indulgence brings us out of tune with the gentle song of nature's waiting, mankind's striving for salvation. Heschel suggests here some reasons we may fail to hear God speaking. One reason, he says, is because we ring hollow bells of selfishness. The ringing of hollow bells is heard everywhere and always. It is an incessantly noisy ringing. Oh, those bells, hollow bells, bells that ring out with notes loud and clear, but bells whose pealing have no substance. bells of selfishness, rung only to please oneself. He says, it is not that we refuse to pray or listen. We abstain from listening because we are tuned in to the ringing of those hollow bells. This leaves our lives somehow out of tune with the gentle song of nature's waiting. He suggests we somehow make the choice to listen to the ringing of hollow bells rather than absorb the stillness that surrounds the world, hovering over all the restlessness and fear of life. Ah, the stillness. It was the still small voice of God that reigned supreme for Elijah. God spoke, "My presence and love are steadfast, not just in the places you expect it, not just in the ways you expect it, but even in the silence, God's voice is heard. Unspoken words are heard everywhere." Heschel asks us, is not listening to the pulse of wonder worth silence and abstinence from self-asserting? Why do we not set apart an hour of living for devotion to our God by surrendering to stillness? For the psalmist, the revelation of God was not only heard with the ears, but seen with the eyes. Peter J. Leithart says it this way, "All created things were made by God, designed after God's wisdom and word. As such, creation is communication from God about God. God created everything to communicate of God's self and providentially directs creation to the same end." If that is what created things are, and if God is the creator who knows and governs the universe, then created things are designed to speak of God. We worship a God who is Word, who has spoken, and who expects us to speak God's words. God expects us to learn how to use everything God has revealed and named to honor, praise, and tell of God, because that is the destiny for which everything was created. How could we not at least notice God's majesty and abiding presence in the beauty of creation? Heschel says our lives are out of tune. Maybe our eyes are out of focus as well. We often move through life skimming the surface with our eyes. Our eyes become tired and blurry, and we no longer see the sacred shimmering before us. Seeing the revelation of God in creation calls for more than skimming the surface with our eyes. It takes seeing with the eyes of the heart, seeing the message beneath and beyond what meets the eye. When we look with this kind of intensity, all creation becomes a temple. Temple is a word that comes from a Latin word, templum, which means the space to which you look to perceive God. Leithart admits, there is mystery at every point in the revelation of God in creation, but why should we expect anything else? We want to talk about and to an infinite and incomprehensible God. There's Elijah's lesson on turning toward mystery rather than certainty again. Let not the mystery baffle you or intimidate you. It is a telltale sign that God has spoken when a revelation holds mystery. Rather than turn away from it, turn aside like Moses to see the mystery of the burning bush, asking, what does it mean? Abandoning yourself to the mystery and to all God would speak to you in it. This much the psalmist assures us about the revelation of God. It will refresh your soul and repair what is broken in us and in the world. It will guide us toward wisdom. will give joy to our hearts because it gives us something in which to hope. It will burn within us, making life and all creation feel luminous and shining with life from the inside out. Or as Eugene Peterson's paraphrase we've heard already from this psalm in the message, that's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. God indeed is still speaking. As old Eli advised young Samuel in his day, let our cry be ever to God. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen.